I invite you to read with me two passages of Scripture for this afternoon's service. First from 1 Kings 12. It's mentioned in the bulletin, 1 Kings 12. And we'll read the first 20 verses. And then we go to Proverbs 23, verse 19 to 26. And this is all in reference to the fifth commandment that is given in Exodus 20 about honoring your father and your mother. The fifth commandment in full reads, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you." We read in 1 Kings 12, and Rehoboam, this was just after Solomon died, and Rehoboam took the throne. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, make thou the grievous service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve you." And he said to them, "Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me." And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, "How do you advise that I may answer this people?" And they spake to him, saying, "If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said to them, "What counsel give you, that we may answer this people, who have spoken to me, saying, 'Make the yoke which your father did put upon us lighter'?" And the young men that were grown up with him spake to him, saying, "Thus shall you speak to this people that spake unto you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter to us.' Thus shall you say to them, 'My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did laid you or burden you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions.'" So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." Wherefore the king hearkened not to the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, "What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, David." So Israel departed to their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute or over the taxes, and all Israel stoned him with stones that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David to this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation, and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And then the rest of the chapter tells about how King Jeroboam set up two false worship centers to try to maintain the 10 tribes to stay with him, Jeroboam. So you see the whole mess that resulted, as told in this chapter, which brought Israel to sin and much trouble indeed. Let's now read Proverbs 23, 19 to 26. there we are instructed by the wise man, Solomon, presumably. And here we read in verse 19, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto your father that begat you, and despise not your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, that and he that begets a wise child shall have joy of him. Your father and your mother shall be glad, and she that bare you shall rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways." So far the scripture reading. And let's just note together the catechism's summary on this fifth commandment, page 75, just one question and answer. Question and answer 104. Here we are instructed, what does God require in the fifth commandment? Answer, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity or loyalty to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Well, the Lord, may the Lord bless us as we think about the blessed fifth commandment of God. Following the preaching, we'll sing 425, stanza 5. Or stanza 6, sorry. 425, stanza 6. Well, just when you think you've heard it all, there's something else that comes up. One of the latest trends is, if you are into Christmas trees, that now those trees are shown and mounted upside down. Yes, though it's a more expensive way and difficult way of doing things, it's now taking off as new and fashionable, the new and fashionable way to do it. Not just in the big malls, but stores are offering you kits for you to have an upside-down tree in your living room, too. If you don't believe me, just Google it, and you'll find out for yourselves. Upside-down Christmas trees. Now, what does that to do with us? Why would I begin the sermon this way? Well, dear congregation belonging to Christ, it's a vivid illustration and symptom, what's happening to Christmas trees in our day, of what is increasingly a huge problem in our society. And that is the trend to throw out the old ways and always to be looking for new ways. Of course, there can be something healthy about that in its place, but not so when thinking of the unchanging truths of God's Word. And in particular now, with the holy commandments of God. Don't we live in a society that by and large wants to throw out the Ten Commandments and that thinks we can live just as well without them? Isn't this clearly the case? Just thinking now of the fifth commandment, our focus for this afternoon. The Lord says with that commandment, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you." So it is stated in Exodus 12. And Moses, just before the Israelites crossed over to the promised land, he edits it a bit when he says to them, again giving the law, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Isn't it true, beloved? This commandment, in many respects, is turned upside down in our times. Especially so, even in our post-Christian Western world. Here, let's take note that what God is declaring in this fifth commandment is he's commanding due respect and obedience towards all in authority over us, in all the authority structures he has ordained. He has ordained many. Initially and fundamentally in the Garden of Eden, there was just the family structure of authority in marriage and then with parents. But ever since the fall into sin, God has instituted an authority structure in society for church and state. And he calls us ever to respect and be humbly submissive towards those in authority in our thoughts, words, and deeds. There is a long tradition, as someone said, of interpreting the fifth commandment as speaking more broadly to all positions of authority we meet with in life. So the Catechism also teaches us, doesn't it? In question and answer 104, what does God require in the fifth commandment? Answer, that I show all honor, love, fidelity, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Can you think here of the many different authority positions that we encounter and deal with in our lives? There is the role of employer with employees, and how employees should regard their manager and their boss. There is submission of wife to husband. We are to respect our teachers, our elders, our police, our government representatives and leaders. God calls us to honor security guards in their position, and doctors and nurses, and anyone with some badge of authority in their specific role given to them. Especially to, and where it all starts for us when we come into this world, we are to honor and show due respect to our parents. This is the law of God. But sadly, people today scoff at this law and think we can function very well without it. But the sure facts are that is not the case at all. Our society, if we're honest, is crumbling and disintegrating before our eyes. And the foundation of our culture is being destroyed, even as modern mankind thinks itself wiser than God and disowns and disregards God's holy law, especially now the fifth commandment. What we see happening in our times is not unlike what happened in the days of Rehoboam and Jeroboam. As we read from 1 Kings 12, the society of that time on every level was falling apart, even as the fifth commandment was grossly violated and ignored by both Rehoboam and Jeroboam and the people with them. So let's think about this some more. Also, in light of the Heidelberg Catechism's Bible-based instruction, our theme is, as mentioned in the bulletin, the Lord's blessed fifth commandment for us. Let's consider three main points under this theme: the chaos with disregarding this commandment, two, the comforts with keeping it, and three, God's counsel on observing it. With our first point, let us just confirm the sad reality that increasingly we live in times where virtually every authority structure that God has ordained is being ridiculed and rebelled against. Take, for instance, the call for wives to be submissive to their husbands. This is a call from God, not denying the equality of men and women, nor in any way diminishing the female sex and permitting men to be tyrants and controllers of others. No, but it's God's way of establishing beautiful order and balance and companionship in society. Today there's such a push for equality, even to the point that the valid and valuable differences between men and women, male and female, and their distinct roles and strengths of each gender are just ignored and squashed as nonsense, when the facts are it is everything but nonsense. Just think of what we can learn from seatbelts. Imagine if both ends of the seatbelts were the same. None of you would ever be fastened in for any ride whatsoever safely. Just imagine if extension cords were both the same on both ends. You'd never be connected to any power for any effective thing whatsoever. God made us different, and he made us different for good reasons, that together we might serve him and honor him. But we ignore that today and think it's nonsense. And we push the equality in a way that's bizarre. We know it has become so ludicrous and chaotic that today people can't figure out even what sex they are. And they say they have gender identity issues. But really, it's just basically psychological disorder. And at root, bottom of it, is actually utter folly and rebellion against the God who made us. God made every person very clearly one gender. And in almost 100%, maybe not quite 100%, there can be some exceptions maybe, but in almost 100%, everyone knows what he or she is, a boy or a girl. But today, the family structure is in such disarray and under devilish attack, also with the whole same-sex marriage agenda and propaganda that's constantly pushed at us. The anti-God's law evil is so pumped at us, constantly from the commercial, political, education, and entertainment and news media world, we are confronted with it virtually every day, from all around, everywhere. And how tragic and unbelievably rebellious before God and his commandments we are in these things. I was so saddened by what I saw when Australia, I don't know, maybe you saw the clip too, when Australia just recently passed a law allowing for same-sex marriage. When that law passed in their parliament, their national parliament of Australia, those sitting in the upper gallery of the parliament building, they broke out in song and celebration. And the members of parliament became all teary-eyed with this so-called momentous, marvelous new legislation, which is really dead-end legislation, which only destroys us. Imagine the patience of God in not destroying that parliament building and all in it with one lightning bolt from heaven. And imagine the Lord not sinking the whole continent of Australia into the surrounding oceans for their rebellion against his authority structure and his laws. Could it be, is it the people of God in the land still? And there are still quite a number, also in Australia, for which the Lord yet shows mercy on such continents and such countries, including our country and the USA and Great Britain. Even Sodom and Gomorrah he would have spared, but there were not even 10 there who were his people. And so the cities and area was destroyed. The point is, we are working to annul and destroy the authority structures that God gives, and we see the results. Think of the increasing single-parent homes in our times, and the stress of that, and the troubles that come with that. Think of the increasing number of children distressed and depressed and confused and without direction and drive. Think of the increasing suicide rate. Consider the huge opioid problem and drug problem. And we're being smart, thinking of legalizing marijuana. I mean, we're with it. We're crazy. Think of the increasing mob madness and rebellion shown in civil disobedience and the senseless, costly, disrespectful protest movements showing so much disrespect. Consider how universities today increasingly can't demand any standards, even for education goals, on their students. Too much protest, and the universities feel forced to give in, and no longer giving the education leadership that they should and the teaching needed, but only as much as will be tolerated by the students. Since when do the students call the shots instead of the professors and the university boards? Don't we recognize what a problem is happening and what sin we're bringing upon ourselves by dishonoring and negating the fifth commandment? Sadly, too, many of those educated also promote ideas which totally negate all God teaches us. One commentator reported on a learned sociologist writing in a popular magazine, quote, "Parents should begin obeying their children. The older generation," she maintained, "has tried and failed, and now our society's only hope is," quote, "for the older generation to quit trying to mold the young and instead let the younger generation take the lead." You know, that's exactly the counsel that was followed in the days of Rehoboam and Jeroboam in the scripture we read. And we are told the tragic consequences of that action. Listening only to the younger people's counsel and pushing aside, ignoring the older people's advice. What folly. I have a quote in the bulletin too from contemporary Christian leader and preacher, teacher, Kevin DeYoung, in his catechism book that he has, where he speaks about how in home life too today, quote, "Contrary to the fears of some, most households, especially in the Western world, are less patriarchy and more kinderarchy." What he means by that is, increasingly, it's the kids who run the show, not the parents. The children and their wants become the driving force behind the agenda and the priorities and the focus in family life. But what about the calling from God for parents to lead and to teach and to guide and to guard their children, and for them to mold them and shape them in due regard and respect before God and their neighbor? That's falling away by the wayside. And instead, what is happening is we have an increasingly entitlement mentality among the younger generation in our society. Often so much is demanded by them and expected by people in the up-and-coming generation without them being willing to take on any of the responsibilities that come on with life and the blessings and benefits of life that we still may so much enjoy and have. Concrete evidence of this entitlement mentality of our age is the amount of garbage left behind by people in parks and after concerts and following such activities like anti-pipeline, save the environment, mob protests. Others must save the environment, they insist. Yet for themselves to leave garbage everywhere and to leave half-used water bottles, etc., is considered the norm and our privilege, take it or leave it. And who are you to dare say anything about it? I ask you, is this not the culture and the society in which we live? Alas, increasingly so. I read the other day about a high school student who is suing her school because they insisted she stand for the national anthem. And I read the other day about a woman suing the police force because the police dog bit her while they were chasing her down for a crime. Increasingly, the law enforcement are having a harder time enforcing any laws because people refuse to be subjected to any laws. And lawyers are quick to take up cases when there's no case at all, just so they can make a buck. And what results is, congregation, and we see it happening, we come more and more into a society of anarchy. Anarchy. Where everyone does what is right in their own eyes. And that's the way it is in many places in the world. But increasingly it's coming in our part of the world too. Where formerly, because of the influence of Christianity, we had more law and order and respect and regard for those in authority over us. Increasingly, with the breakdown of family life, we see government infringing on so much in our lives. And people voting for those who promote and push exactly that agenda from the government. Because, well, there's no other structure left for them to depend on and to get money from. But history proves we open ourselves to all kinds of dangers and control, and we lose many freedoms formerly enjoyed when the government more and more takes control of our lives. Don't we see this increasing infringement from governing authorities happening right before our eyes, in our times today? Also here in Alberta, Canada. And it's true, isn't it? Even in church life, sadly, increasingly, it can be challenging to lead a congregation. Who cares about listening to what the Bible says? And why should we listen to what any so-called church leader, whether elder, deacon, or pastor, says? We can be our own authority on what we believe and what is true. And whether we are a member or not, that's up to us. And no one should think they have any right to say to another what is God-honoring and what is not. I mean, don't we live in this kind of time? Anti-authority, relativistic, me-centered age, which is infecting and affecting all our society on every level in all kinds of detrimental ways. What a sad day it was. Imagine living in that time when Rehoboam followed the advice of his younger peers, his party buddies, and ignored God's precepts and commands and the wisdom of the older generation. What a tragic day too, when Jeroboam thought he was smarter than all his fathers before, and whatever God commanded before as well, he knew better and he would do it his way. And the result was, isn't it, both ungodly kings, while they helped miserably to lead their nations in sin, and on the way to destruction. And this is always the case. If we will live despising God's laws, especially now also the fifth commandment of God. Well, you could say, boy, pastor's on a real tirade. Well, I'm trying to be faithful. We reject God's law, we make a mess. Scripture shows it. History proves it. Society evidences it. Even today, how you and I need to be convicted and convinced of this matter. And shouldn't you and I be so sorry then also for every sin against God's law, including now all our disregard and disrespect for those in authority over us. It is sin when we disobey our parents. Children, when you disobey, young people, when you disobey your parents, it is sin. It is grievous wrong before God and our neighbor when we despise and discount the authority structures God has given us in this sinful world. Again, let me give here the succinct teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism in its one question and answer. What does God require of us in the fifth commandment? Answer: that I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand." Well, having considered just a little something of the chaos that results when disregarding the fifth commandment, let's move on to our second point and think of the comforts with keeping it. Here, think with me just of how the fifth commandment is such a key commandment for the teaching and keeping of all the other commandments. It's in the home life, when it's well, as the children grow up, that parents are to guide and to train their children in the way of all God's precepts. And where better to learn them? And who better to learn them from than our parents? In the family home, from our childhood. But if children won't be taught from their infancy to obey their parents and their good instruction, then not only do they disobey the fifth commandment, but they throw out also the good instruction and example related to all the other commandments and precepts of God. And you get a total mess again. That's what we're in a lot of ways. The comfort with keeping God's fifth commandment as God commands and intends is that so doing, we teach our children in a context of love and care from their childhood the way they should go and the way they should not go. We teach them a true sense of right and wrong and what is good and what is evil as it is taught to us from God and His word and His law. And we make clear to our children His precepts, when raised in conformity also to the fifth commandment. And the Lord says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Living by the fifth commandment never hurts our children, but it helps them. It doesn't hinder their healthy growth and wholesome development, but actually fosters and promotes it. The benefits of it as relates to schooling and church and work and society are untold when children are raised knowing and keeping and respecting the fifth commandment of God. Where the fifth commandment is taught and upheld in the home, there most likely the police and the consistory members and the teachers, and the parking directors, and the construction flagman, and the bus drivers, and even the guy who says how you should put your garbage in, the three bins that are given to you, that's all, they're all respected. They're all adhered to. And there too, who, regardless of who's in government, what is made clear, we must respect those in authority over us for their office sake. And we have no right to speak scoffingly even about the most unfaithful and foolish leaders. But we are to remain humble and respectful towards them, even when strongly disagreeing with their behavior and actions and policies. Well, you don't need any university degree to realize when this kind of respect and regard towards authority structures, as God commands in Commandment 5, is taught and modeled and promoted by word and deed in the families, in our society, it can and will have an all-round ripple effect for good. It promotes good order. And it shows honor towards others in the home and outside the home. And it emphasizes along with it, for sure, our steadfast responsibilities in life and our call to act patiently and prayerfully and wisely in all our ways and relations with others. Nothing promotes peace and stability and order in our society and culture as submission to God and His Ten Commandments. Again, especially now considering the fifth commandment just. Here let's take note that it's not for nothing that the fifth commandment is the single commandment with a promise attached to it. Specifically, did you notice that? The promise of God that obeying this law is that all your days will be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And that promise is not to be understood so much simply from an individual viewpoint. No, but in its context, we should understand it especially as God saying to the nation of Israel and to all his people in any generation that living by his commands, especially now the fifth commandment, that is what will bring steadfast blessing and stability and longevity to you as a people corporately, and will benefit also you individually and as families and as clans and as congregations. Whereas ignore and despise God's law, that in regards to family life and honoring the authority structures that God ordains, rebelling against that, well, you just sow seeds of your own destruction, nationally, individually, and in countless more ways than you can imagine. The greatest fools on earth are all those who think they can ignore God and be wiser than God. When we are true Christians, we know that is true, even from painful experience. And we then become resolved by God's grace to live by God's law, believing with all our minds and hearts. As stated in 1 John 5, verse 3, God's commandments are not grievous, but only always for our good. Yes, and for our well-being, for us and our children and children's children. When you have been raised in line with the fifth commandment, it helps you keep from speeding, even when no police are around. For you know that's breaking the law. And then you don't talk back either to your teacher, because you know that is showing disrespect to someone God has placed over you in a certain role as your teacher. When you keep God's fifth commandment, you seek to honor your parents, doing what they ask you to do, not grumpily or only after they ask you 10 times. No, but then you are called to listen to them immediately and to do what they say promptly because, well, they are your parents, and God has given them to give you oversight and guidance and instruction in your life. You know then, too, that you don't have an option to obey them only when you like what they ask or when you feel like doing what they say or when you like them that day. No, no. So when they ask you to do something like clean up the toys or get ready for bed or help clear the table or set up the breakfast table or do the dishes, whatever, you do it because, well, yes, they said so. And even when you don't want to, you do it if you honor the fifth commandment. Not to do what they ask you is disobedience. It's defiance. It's rebellion against your parents. And that is always sin before God and your parents. There's only one reason and one situation where we actually may and should disobey our parents and anyone in authority over us. And that is when someone over us tells us to do something that is sinful and wrong before God and our neighbor. For example, if your mother told you to go steal that iPad from the store, you must not listen. Or if a minister would say to you, you have to tell your parents we were at the mall and not at the gambling casino, you shouldn't listen to the minister telling you to do something wrong in that way. Or if your dad would say, you just go ahead and speed, we want to get there on time, you don't have to listen. Say, Dad, we need to follow the law. You do need to say it respectfully, but you don't have to listen if they tell you to do something wrong, unless it's an emergency, of course. Sometimes parents have done harm and evil to their children and commanded them to keep it all secret, to tell no one, when in fact they should tell someone sooner than later lest their parents do evil and harm to others as well. Saying that, we need to bring out with all faithful fifth commandment teaching and preaching how important also that all in any authority position be faithful and honest and upright and godly in their authority roles. So much disrespect and disregard for the fifth commandment takes place also because too often those entrusted authority positions have acted irresponsibly and even deplorably. God keep us from such misuse and abuse of our positions in authority, whatever it be, in home life or church life or in any other role we might have. So much of the chaos in today's society and lack of respect also for the fifth commandment is partly because of authority figures acting sinfully and selfishly. Pray God you will be faithful in whatever position of leadership and authority He grants us in life, beginning in marriage and family life and church life and every other sphere. We need to live honorably and uprightly before God and our fellow man, shall we truly and winsomely and convincingly teach and uphold the fifth commandment in our life and for our children and children's children. Well, let's move on to our third main point, which is in regards to the fifth commandment, our theme, the Lord's blessed fifth commandment. We've seen the chaos with disregarding it, the comforts with keeping it. Let's think about now God's counsel on observing it. We hope to look more at this in another sermon, God willing, perhaps next week. But for now, it's important to say the following. As we study the Ten Commandments and what it means to live by them as confessing Christians, always in heeding God's counsel on observing it, how urgent that you and I live in submission to the commandment. Let's not make excuses for sinful departures from the clear, absolute instruction of God's fifth commandment. So you don't say, we can download that movie and song. Doesn't matter what the law says. No, that's wrong. If it's against the law, don't do it. And so you don't throw the wrong type of garbage in the wrong garbage bin. It's not right. Let's not make excuses for sinful departures from the clear, absolute instruction of God's fifth commandment. Again, quoting the catechism very purposely once more, on the basis of Scripture, dear confessing believers and covenant people of God, what does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by them. Let none of us try to skip around this law and what God requires from us. For if you and I do that, and we keep on doing that, we actually show and give evidence of not being true Christians at all. True Christians, by the renewing and redeeming work of God for them and in them, in and through Christ Jesus, want also to be Christ-like and desire to live by God's law of love before God and our neighbor, including the fifth commandment in all its details. The standard for the fifth commandment is not just what we read in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, but as we see it modeled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He perfectly obeyed the fifth commandment with every authority structure He had to deal with, even when those authority structures were often very unjust towards Him. If you love me, said Jesus, keep my commandments. Hereby we know that we know him. 1 John 2, verse 3. If we keep his commandments. Just maintaining this too, Who doesn't realize, and who here won't confess, the need for daily repentance from sin, also from sins against the fifth commandment in our lives? Children, are you sorry every time you disobey your parents and you resist what they say to you? You rebel against it. You won't do it. Are you sorry? Don't harden your heart in sin and rebellion. Don't. For God gives one of his most awful curse words for children who disrespect and disobey their parents. It's good to mention it. It's found in Proverbs 30, verse 17. There we read this graphic, solemn warning. The eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. How thankful we may be, dear congregation, that the Lord God in Christ Jesus is the Savior from all sin, also all our sins in connection with our transgressions against the fifth commandment. We know, as I said already, Jesus lived in perfect, absolute perfect obedience and submission also to the fifth commandment of God. And in reference to all the authority structures of his day, including his earthly parents. And yet he suffered and died, didn't he? As sin bearer, taking on himself the sins of his people against his law, including our sins against the fifth commandment. Oh, how much we owe the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, for all his complete, marvelous, merciful, saving work, even to the death of the cross, to cleanse and justify and sanctify sinners like us from all our sin and evil. Are you looking to him, finding your salvation in him, looking to him and following him? Let's trust and obey all his precepts, this holy commandment too, asking God himself by his Spirit and word so to enable us and so to live for his glory and in the promotion of his gospel and for the good in our lives at home and everywhere else as well. The more you and I take heed to this fifth commandment, what a blessing to each other we become in our homes and in the church and in our society. And what an honor we bring to Christ as Savior and Lord. So will you too then obey this commandment? A word yet to the children and then to the parents. Children, be thankful when you have parents that insist on you respecting and obeying them. Don't test and tire your parents out by being defiant or naughty and disobedient and disrespectful when you do them wrong. But say sorry. Say sorry when you do them wrong. Will you do that? And not stubbornly go on in rebellion as we so easily can fall into of ourselves. And parents, take care to be diligent and steadfast in the parenting responsibilities. Don't be half-hearted in your teaching and modeling of the fifth commandment with your children, but pray and work to be insistent, consistent, and persistent in having them listen immediately when you speak to them and having them show respect and honor as is fitting towards you and others in authority. Too often we can give in to their not listening promptly and we allow them to get away with it, and that's never good for them and it's tiring for yourself. It's not wholesome in the long run. How good to say here too, let children and parents and grandparents and single ones here pray much for those called to raise their children in their families. It's a daunting responsibility. And it can seem like a matter of endless care and sometimes be so frustrating, but plod on faithfully, day by day, in humble prayer and steadfastness in God's ways, and you will not be put to shame. God is the covenant God of his people in the generations. You may plead his promises. He is faithful in all generations. And young people still living at home, honor your parents. as they aim to the best of their abilities to raise you in God's ways. And why not tell them how much you love and appreciate them for all that they do for you and what they all teach you and how they care for you? Isn't being thankful to them and showing respect for them related together? It's part of keeping the fifth commandment. Our world is wickedly and foolishly turning so much upside down. Oh, I agree, an upside Christmas tree, upside down Christmas tree, that's only a commercial trick. You know that, don't you? Just to get you back in the stores to see it and to spend more and to shop more. But overturning and despising the commandments, that's a devilish trick from the old sly serpent from the beginning, out to deceive us and our children in the generations and ever to weaken and destroy the family and the church and to lead nations to destruction. Don't fall for Satan's schemes and wiles, but be wise and honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So, congregation, also for some of you, who've had very great trials in connection with your parents, not being faithful to you, ask for grace to live by this commandment still. And let's together be standing strong and tall and upright, being a holy people in the way of God's holy commandments to his glory by God's grace, and that for the good of all. Will you so live by God's grace? God helping you day by day. Amen.